بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم وما امروا الا لیعبدوا اللہ مخلصین له الدین وقال تعالی علی اللہ الدین الخالص وقال النبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم انما الاعمال بالنیات. My most respected brothers and elders and our mothers listening over the receiver, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue this very important discussion on ikhlas, sincerity. And just to recap, in the past 2 weeks that when we had the majlis, then we discussed the important aspects of niyat and having a sincere niyat, the blessings, the rewards, the importance of having a correct niyat, how important it is in our deen, how we should be doing, we should be carrying out our actions solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be for any worldly gains. We mentioned many incidents, so just to recap, because sometimes we even forget what we were discussing. One buzuk, when he comments his bayan, as we say, lend me your ears. In other words, listen attentively. And if you say, not just lend me your eyes, but lend me your ears, because sometimes we listen to the bayan just by means of our eyes. We look at the speaker, but our ears are closed. So the ears are closed. The ear is actually a funnel. From the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this ear is a funnel, and through which whatever is heard penetrates into the heart. Therefore, Maulana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullahi alayhi, as we mentioned previously, who was the cousin of Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say, haqbat, haqbat, that which is haq, the truth, Quran, hadith, haq niyat ke saath, which is said with sincerity, haq tariqi ke saath, in the right manner. That which is Quran, Hadith, Wa'az, Nasihat, Haqq, Truth, said with sincerity, and said it, and it is said in a correct manner, then he says, Mu'athir hoti. It definitely has an effect on the hearts of people. So we had discussed, Innama al-a'malu bi-niyyat, that every action is judged according to his intentions. We gave the whole incident of the Sahabi who made hijrah from Makkah to Medina to get married to that woman. Finally he got married. Within Rasulullah mentioned the hadith that every action is judged according to the person's intention. And if his hijrah, his migration was done for any worldly gains, then he'll attain that worldly achievement. And he'll get married to that woman. And if he came for some business venture, he might make some profit. But if he made his hijrat solely for the pleasure of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will be rewarded and he will get Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We had mentioned the incident of the cave, where three people were trapped in the cave one night and the rock had closed the entrance of the cave. And each one then supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, a certain action that I had done in my life solely for your pleasure, through the wasila of that action, through the barakat of that action, oh my Allah, grant us an exit from this cave. And each one recalled a particular action that they had done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala then removed them safely. Then we also mention the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to narrate, he used to fall unconscious. And the famous hadith, which instills fear in the hearts of a believer, that on the day of Qiyamah, three people will be called. One will be an alim, a qari, and he will be questioned as to how did he perform in this world. Say, Ya Allah, I sought knowledge, and I read the Quran, and I imparted your knowledge solely for your pleasure. Allah will say, no, no, you did it so that people may praise you. You got the praise in the world. Now you will be thrown into Jahannam. Allah save us. Like that, a shaheed, and also a generous person. So the actions were not done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the actions were done so that people may praise them. And because of this praise that they wanted in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then deprives them in the hereafter of gaining entry into paradise. Then if you recall, we did the incident of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, which is a clear illustration of a person's ikhlas, that he is in the battlefield and about to kill a Jew. He's mounted on his chest and suddenly the Jew spits on his face and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala leaves him. And when he's questioned, why did you leave me? He says, no, now if I kill you, it will be just to seek vengeance and revenge. It won't be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Jew then accepted Islam. Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi had mentioned that a person who leaves his town and is going on a journey, he takes with him a bag, some provisions. But if he fills his bag with sand, he doesn't take his food, he doesn't take anything to drink, he doesn't take any money, he doesn't take any requirements which he will need en route or for this journey. He just takes sand and he fills into his bag. All he has done, he has gained nothing from that sand, except that he transported the sand from place A to place B. That's the only thing. And therefore, all our mashayikh, I've been reading a few kitabs from the past 2-3 days, and every wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasize on ikhlas. It is mentioned, awwalu qadamin, the first step, lil murid, for one who is treading on this path of suluk and tazkiyah, he wants a reformation, he wants to change his life. And all of us have come here so that we may hear something that will bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that we may reform our lives. Our sitting here, we must have the correct niyat. It must not be for any worldly purpose. It will be solely for the pleasure of Allah. Oh Allah, make me hear such things that I can practice upon and I may change my life and I may come closer to you. This must be our niyat. Niyat is so important. When a person drinks zamzam water, it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma'u zamzam lima shuribala. For whatever niyat you drink zamzam, Allah will grant you that dua. Now we should take advantage of this. Every time a person drinks zamzam, he should make a dua. Many mashayikh, buzrugani deen made various duas when they drank zamzam water. One person drank the water of zamzam and he made this niyat, oh Allah, bless me with the memory of Allama Dhahabi rahmatullahi alayhi. Ulama know who Allama Dhahabi rahmatullahi was. His sound memory, what a great scholar of his time he was. Profound knowledge, excellent memory. So a person makes dua, ya Allah, give me the memory of Allama Dhahabi rahmatullahi. Another person makes dua, oh my Allah, give me tawfiq of making amal on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make me be a person who be muttabi' of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So mashayikh said, both people made dua, but the second person dua is far greater than the first person dua. Why? Simple logic. That if the person's dua is accepted, the first person's dua is accepted, all he'll get is a sound memory. But what is the person going to do only with only a good memory? If there is no ittiba of sunnat in his life, if there is no following Rasulullah's teachings in his life, so many people, non-Muslims, have got very good memory and who have by-hearted a hadith of Rasulullah. They have written commentaries on the hadith of Rasulullah. They have written books in Arabic. Yet they have got no iman. And imagine the second person, if his dua is accepted, he'll become a follower of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all this depends on our niyat. And therefore they say, awwalu qadamin, the very first step a person takes in this path of suluk, ayyakuna sadiqa. And he said, qal niyah, he must have sincerity. He must do things only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very fine line. Ikhlas is something not achieved overnight. A person like Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi, These are all great ulama, mashayikh, muhaddithin, mufassirin of their times. He would say, ma alajtu shay'an ashadda alayya min niyati. I have never confronted anything in my life which was so heavy and so difficult to achieve like ikhlas and sincerity in intention. Why? Because he says each time the niyat is such, keeps on wavering, keeps on changing. Ulama have explained that before doing any action, person reading salat or Quran or dhikr, any good deed, first check your intention. Correct your intention. Make the sahih of your niyat. Do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then commence the action. After that, a very important thing to say, after that, whatever else comes in your mind, whatever else comes in your heart, just ignore it. Continue the action. Because now shaitan, he is going to put waswasa in your heart. And he is going to tell you, no, you're not reading for Allah. He will bring wrong thoughts in your heart. Or he might even want you now to show off. So ulama say, if you made genuine niyat before embarking on that amal, on the deed, after that, don't worry about whatever thoughts you may get. Because shaitan, what is his maqsad, what is his object? He wants you to break that amal. He doesn't want you to complete that action. So he wants you to nullify your salat. He wants you to break your salat. You want to give charity, and you had the genuine niyat of helping the poor person, and as you are about to give him, shaitan will say, maybe you're doing it out of show. So this is the chalaki of shaitan. He does not want to see you doing that action. Therefore, ulama say, continue. And if you still don't have itminan of the heart, then read, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan wajim. Read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But the important thing is not to break that amal. Many times, in fact, most of the times, when we're doing a certain action, especially if it is new in our life, in the very first couple of times, we will not be able to achieve that complete sincerity. The intention may be different. Ulama say, continue. Because there will come a time where Allah Ta'ala will bless you with the correct intention. And you'll have genuine sincerity. Then we had also mentioned the incident of Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Ali, who is the grandson of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, son of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Only after his demise did people come to know that he was the one who was feeding so many poor people of Medina. In other words, whilst he was living, he was feeding people secretly. He would come at night and he'd camouflage himself, cover his face and quietly feed all the poor people. So when he passed away, there was nobody feeding the people. Few days went by. And then they realized that the person who was feeding us was Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. We mentioned the verse, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah ta'ala has placed us into this world to test us, to see which one of you is ahsan, is best in actions. Ulama explained two things. What is mean of ahsan, of doing, or of who is best in actions? Number one, his niyat must be correct. His niyat must be only for the pleasure of Allah. And number two, the action must be sawab. It must be correct. It must be according to Quran and Hadith. It must not be something contrary to Quran and Hadith. Otherwise, he will not be rewarded. So the action has to be according to Sharia, and his niyat must be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith of Rasulullah is mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah does not look at the outward features of a person. Allah does not look at the bank balance of a person. Allah looks at his heart. How pure his heart is. How clean his heart is. How sincere his intention is. And accordingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards the person. There is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very lengthy hadith, that there are four types of people in this world. One person, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with knowledge and dunya. So he uses his knowledge and his dunya in avenues, in such places where he reaps sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is generous. He feeds the poor, the needy. So he's lucky, he's fortunate. Allah gave him both. Allah gave him knowledge and Allah ta'ala gave him dunya. So he is able to use his knowledge in the correct way and also his dunya also in the correct way. But then there's another person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with knowledge, but no dunya. But he sees the first person spending the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And genuinely, sincerely, deep down in his heart, he has this genuine intention, oh my Allah, if I possessed that amount of wealth, I would have also spent on those people who this person is spending. It is mentioned in the hadith, فَأَجْرُهُمَا سَوَى. Both of them are equal in reward. And then there is a third person, whom Allah has not blessed with knowledge, but Allah has blessed him with dunya. No knowledge, only dunya. And he spends all his dunya in all haram avenues. In casinos, gambling dens, in all haram things. So he is akhbathul manazil, worst of people. A fourth category is that person whom Allah has not blessed with neither knowledge nor dunya. Unfortunate. But look at his misfortune. That he looks at the third person whom Allah did not bless with knowledge, but Allah gave him plentiful of dunya, and this person used all his dunya in haram. So this fourth person also expresses a genuine niyat and desire, oh Allah, if you bless me with that type of wealth, I too could have spent in all these haram places. فَوِذْرُهُمَا سَوَى. Both of them get the same type of sin. So ulama deduce from this, that look at niyat, so important. Based on your correct niyat, you will get the sawab of that person who performed that action, although you didn't get a chance. And based upon your niyat, you'll get the same sin of that person who did haram, even though you did not commit it. Therefore, it is important all the time to rectify our niyat. Check our niyat. And therefore, I mentioned every muhaddith, almost every author, every muhaddith comments the kitab, like Bukhari Sharif, comments to the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Why? To remind the reader, to remind the listener, to remind ourselves that what are we doing? Are we doing it for show, for name, for fame? Are we doing it for so that people may praise us? How does a person acquire this ikhlas? Many things have been mentioned. We had mentioned previously that a person has to develop in his heart the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'zeem of Allah Rabbul Izzat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful. Everything is in His control. He is a provider. He is a nourisher. He is the king of all kings. Everything is in His control. And when a person develops this type of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will realize that he is totally dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And when a person develops this consciousness that he is muhtaj on Allah, and he's not muhtaj on anybody else, and there's nobody greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will make sure that whatever he does is to please his Allah. Because he realizes the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other ulama have mentioned that a person should remember or ponder and reflect that Allah is well aware of whatever is in his heart. إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the intricacies of the heart. Allah knows the finer things in the heart, the secrets in the heart. Allah is well aware. Therefore, if our niyat is bad, if our niyat is fasid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely, Allah is aware of it. If we have a malicious intention to do something, to harm some person, so Allah is aware of that niyat. But if we have a good intention, a good niyat, Allah is aware of the good niyat as well. So the fact that Allah is aware of whatever is contained in our heart, that should enable us to correct our intention. So inshallah, as we continue, we will mention more things that, remedies that ulama have mentioned as to how we could acquire the sincerity or ikhlas, and how can we do our action solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ulama have mentioned very beautifully that a person realizes, أَيَّعْلَمَ أَنَّ مَدْحَ النَّاسِ وَذَمَّ النَّاسِ لَا يَضُرُ, that the praises of people or their disparaging remarks, they denigrate him, they humiliate him. So either they praise him or they humiliate him. Both do not cause any nuqsan to the person. If he is able to develop this quality, that he is not affected by the praises of the people, neither is he affected by the curses of people, or people not praising him. If he can develop this quality in him, then he is a mukhlis person. One Bedouin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a lengthy incident. But in that incident, this Bedouin says, إِنَّ مَدْحِي زَيْنٌ وَإِنَّ ذَمِّي شَيْنٌ, that my praising people, my making tarif of people, زَيْنٌ, it will elevate them. It will give them beauty. In other words, it will elevate their status and rank. And my humiliating people, not making their madah and tarif, but my making their dham, it will belittle them, it will lower their rank and status. Rasulullah said, no. ذَاكَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, that in reality is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي إِذَا ذَكَرَ النَّاسِ ارْتَفَعُوا, when Allah praises people, then their rank is elevated. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliates any nation, Allah does not praise any nation, Allah curses any nation, habatu, then they fall down. So that is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La anta, not you, because he had said, inna madhi zainun, wa inna dhammi shainun. Zain and shain. Zain means to beautify something. Shain means to defect something, to talk bad of something, to make something look ugly. So he said, that is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it is only Allah's praise that will elevate any nation. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliating a nation and not praising them or cursing them that will lower their status and rank. If this a person understands, that all this is only in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will make sure that when people praise him, or people don't praise him, it will be immaterial to him, it won't affect his heart, because his heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a mukhlis person, he is sincere, he does things only for Allah. So if my Allah praises me, yes, then I can be happy. And if Allah does not praise me, then there's something for me to be worried about. People's praises do not affect me. People not praising me will not affect me. Now this is something we have to bring into our life. Because each one of us, almost every day, we undertake something, we do something, where we want people's praises. Now if we are seeking the praises of people, then this is a sign that we do not have ikhlas. Yes, if somebody praises us without our seeking that praise, then Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, or one sahabi asked Rasulullah, I did something solely for the pleasure of Allah, but after that somebody came and praised me. Now what do I do? Has that destroyed my action? Rasulullah said, no. Tilka ajilu bushal mu'min. That's the cash, glad tidings for a believer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Already in this world, Allah is showing, giving you glad tidings. You did it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You didn't do it for people's praises. You were eating namaz in one corner. You didn't have any, the slightest idea or notion that somebody might come and see you. You did it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not knowing that person was watching you. And after that he came and praised you. When he praised you, now what do you do? Is it something to be perturbed about? He said, don't worry. That's Allah ta'ala praising you. In fact, Allah is giving you glad tidings already in this world. But the important thing is to do it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is a sign that a person doesn't have the ikhlas? We explain now. Another sign is an-nashat fil mala' wal kasal fil khala. In front of people, the person seems to be very robust, very active in that particular deed. He's performing it very well. But the same deed when he is in privacy, at home and nobody is watching him, he does it very lazily. No fervor, no zeal. There's no himmat. That's a sign that the person doesn't have ikhlas. That means he was doing the action for show, for ostentation. In front of people, mashallah, his head was down, reading long namaz. Alone at home, not even two rakat namaz is able to perform. So that is a sign that the person does not have ikhlas. And other ulama have mentioned, every time the person has his love, muhabbat, muhabbat ustana, he wants people to praise him. He wants people to praise him all the time. So this type of desire is not a good desire. And we explained this already in detail. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, really when we hear this hadith, then we'll understand how important ikhlas is in our life. Let us listen attentively. Rasulullah told the Sahaba, Ala unabbi'ukum. Should I not inform you of such an action that I am so concerned about and I've got so much of fear regarding you people with regards to that particular action? More fear I have for you, for your well-being, that even the emergence of Dajjal. And we know Dajjal was such a person that every Nabi warned his people of Dajjal. Every Nabi. The only difference is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us more description of Dajjal. That Dajjal will claim to be Allah, but he is not Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu gave us an explanation about Dajjal, how he will look and what he will do, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq, we will explain those incidents as well. But Rasulullah is saying, more than the fear I have of Dajjal over you, more than all that, is ash-shirkul khafi. Is that shirk, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is khafi, and I explained this previously, but for those who were not here, one is genuinely a person believes in Allah, but with Allah he associates a partner, whether it's an idol, or whether it's the sun, the moon, or the stars, that is called shirk. In Arabic, shariq means a partner. Therefore we say, la sharikala, Allah has got no partner. So shirk actually means to join a partner to Allah. That is called a shirkul jali, kufr, polytheism, haram. Person doesn't have iman if he has this type of belief. May Allah save us, Allah protect us. But the lesser form of shirk, which in Arabic is not jali, jali means heavy, khafi which means lighter or something which is hidden. Something which is hidden. And that is ostentation and riya. In other words, you're doing that action for Allah and you want the praises of people. And if you recall the hadith we did, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will call the person and he says that I don't need any partnership with any person. So if you do that action for me and a partner that you attributed to me in that particular action, then go and claim your rewards from that person. I have given it to him. I am not in need of your action. And of course that person will not be able to reward him. أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. Allah says, I don't require any partners. So this shirkul khafi, which comes very stealthily, very secretly, person doesn't even realize that he is a victim of this type of shirk. Of course, the person's iman won't go away, but it is so severe. The warnings are severe. Person who does things for show on the day of Qiyamah in front of all the people, Allah will call him and Allah will humiliate and disgrace him. Imagine in front of your parents, your wife, your children, your family members, your friends, every person, your Nabi, and then you humiliate it. Why? Man qama riyan, man qama sum'atan, that person who stood up and he did things for show, or he said things to make people hear, and so that they may praise him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then humiliates him on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. I had to recap all this what we did, but inshallah we will continue. This topic of ikhlas is very vast, extremely important, extremely vital. And we need to inculcate this ikhlas. It's not just the maqsad of all these programs, is islah, of reformation, myself mostly. And until we don't get this feeling of ikhlas, we can't continue. Not that we will have the ikhlas, we make dua to Allah. Rasulullah would make dua every day, and this dua is found in that morning, evening dua booklet, which Awazat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakat Umar Aliyah has mentioned and made it so easy for us. Like for example, we read on Sunday mornings the three quls, Hasbi Allah, the various duas, the morning and evening duas. In that book you will find also a dua, a person, when he reads the dua, Allah will protect him from ostentation and riya. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bik wa ana a'lamu bi wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Simple dua. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from joining partners to you. So even if it's shirki jali or shirki khafi, we are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance. And Rasulullah would make this dua. So how important it is for us also to make dua. Ya Allah, if you don't know that dua, Ya Allah, I'm weak. I'm trying to do this action for you. Main bahut kamzor hu, I'm very weak. Ya Allah, you assist me. We just mentioned this one incident. Terminate for tonight, inshallah. I came across this waqia and I thought it's interesting. It's to do with niyat also. So, ek buzurg the, jo salan becha karte the. He was a buzurg, wali of Allah, very simple person. He used to sell some food stuff, some gravy, some food. Log unko sida sada samajh kar khote sikke de jaya karte the. People should think this guy, he's a simpleton. They would give him counterfeit money, fake money. Aur wo unhe le lete the, he should take it. Aur salan pura dete the. Take that whatever money they would give him, inferior quality or fake or counterfeit, whatever it was, they give him less, he'll take it. But he would give them the full amount of food what they would buy or gravy. Log samajhte the ki ye bewakoof aadmi hai. They would think this guy is really not all there. Lekin unka batin aisa acha tha ki jab wo marne lage, but the ulama mentioned that this person's interior, his heart, his batin, one is zahir, the outward or limbs, the exterior, batin interior, his heart was so good, so clean ki jab wo marne lage, when he was dying, so Allah Ta'ala se arz kiya. This lesson very beautiful. He said, oh my Allah. Hey Allah, tu janta hai ki main sari umar logo ke kharab sikke leta tha. Oh Allah, you are well aware. My entire life, I should accept that counterfeit, fake, inferior money of people. Lihada, aap bhi aaj mere raddi aur khote amal qabur kar lijiye. Oh Allah, today I have only bought counterfeit fake amal. Please accept it. Like how I accepted the people's counterfeit money, Allah, you accept my fake amal. Aap bhi aaj mere raddi aur khote amal qabul kar lijiye. Zindagi mein mera muamala aapke bandon ke saath jaisa tha, main chahta hu ki ab marne ke waqt aap apna muamala bhi mere saath waisa hi farmaye. Ya Allah, it was your bandas. This is what I did to them. They treated me in a wrong way. They made zulam upon me. But I still accepted the fake money. Allah, just as I was kind to your banda, you be kind to me. You accept my counterfeit a'mal and you give me the jannat. So that's what the ulama mentioned. Ab marne ke waqt, aap apna muamala bhi mere saath, waisa hi farmaye, dekha, aapne log unko kya samajhte the, aur wo kitne hoshyar nikle. What people thought of him, but look how sharp he was. Apni husn niyat ki wajah se, salan bechkar jannat khareed li. With his good intention, he sold that gravy, and what he actually purchased, jannat in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make islah of ourselves. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is perfect. Let us be sincere bandas of Allah and bandis of Allah, our mothers and sisters listening. There is no time to do things for people. Sometimes we hide behind a so-called humility and we pretend that yes, we are very bad and we are like this, but we want people to think that we are pious. So let us not hide behind a false humility. Let us not lead pretentious lives. There mustn't be a facade in our life. Of course, Arabic facade also means the same thing. There's corruption in our life. And F-E-C-E-D-E, facade. There must be no doubles. You must be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although we are weak, but let us try and take that first step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But mashayikh say, awwalu qadam. The very first step a murid, one who is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, takes in his path of zuluk, is that he must make sure that his heart is clean, he has the right intention. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.